Right, on Sand Showbiz, lucky enough to have John Pye, who's a big radio legend in the Northwest as well. He's been over all of the different stations. Welcome along, John.
Hello, Nigel. Great to speak to you. Are you all right?
Yeah, I'm fine. Thanks. Thanks for joining us here at Sands. And I've got some good questions for you. Are you sweating yet?
Not at all. No. I'm quite prepared for this.
Right.
I've got a cold drink ready just in case it gets a bit too hot.
It won't do. Don't worry about that. Anyway, I've got lots of questions I want to ask you. And a lot of people who are listening to the podcast are going to be dying to know the answers to these questions. We like to delve into your past a little bit and find out a little bit more about the guests here on the podcast. I'm going to start you off with, how did you first get started in radio?
It's a very good question. When I was 8 years old, on my eighth birthday, my mother said, you need to listen to Radio 1 because Tony Blackburn is going to say hello to you and happy birthday to you. So she plonked me in front of a radio at the age of eight on my eighth birthday. It was a weekend breakfast show. So it was 8 o'clock in the morning on a Saturday. And I listened for 2 hours and he didn't say hello to me. I didn't get a mention, nothing.
What a disappointment.
When I was listening, I thought, this is quite fascinating. How's this guy managing to entertain people and play records and talk? And it sounds amazing. And it kind of, a seed was planted. So what I did, I wrote him a letter. He hadn't said happy birthday to me. And the following week, I got a big happy birthday. And that was amazing.
That's a great story. So out of all your old-time radio presenters then in the old day, is Tony Blackburn your favourite, or have you got another favourite?
Oh, I've got lots of favourites. I think everyone's got their own style of presentation. It's amazing that Tony Blackburn, all these years on, like he mentioned me on my birthday when I was eight, is still doing a regular show on Radio 2.
Yeah.
Even though I'm not a big fan of his style, I do enjoy listening to him. And also, I enjoy listening to up-and-coming presenters. At the moment, I'm a big fan of OJ Borg on Radio 2.
Yeah, he's doing a good job.
He does a great job. And I'm also a big fan of, with the voice, with the presentation, and just getting in and out of the links, Paul Fear, who does a great show on Smooth Radio.
You've got a wide choice then, really, when it comes down to radio presenters.
I have indeed. Quite you, Nigel. We were brought up in the 80s and my favourite presenters were Steve Wright, Gary Davis, Simon Bates and whoever was on the breakfast show at the time, be it Simon Mayo, Mike Smith, the late great Mike Smith. And
yeah,
that was my era I was brought up with. And then obviously you become a radio presenter and you get a different ear for radio because you know how it's being done. And then you sort of gain another respect for it because you know how much effort's been put into shows and such like.
Yeah, it's a little bit earlier for me. I was brought up in the 70s on the radio. There we go. But anyway.
What a feast of talent in the 70s. Johnny Walker, you know, he was awesome, wasn't he? And of course, you had your Andy Peebles, bless him. Yeah, the 70s was a good era for radio, I think.
Yeah, Noel Edmonds was there. I always remember listening to Noel Edmonds doing his wind-ups. He had a dog, didn't he, on the Saturday morning show or something. I think it was, I can't remember what it was called now.
Well, Tony Blackburn had a dog called Arnold, which was
might be that one. Yeah, yeah, probably, yeah.
Noel Edmonds and Kenny Everett were very zany, weren't they, and very creative.
Yeah. That's when everybody was a massive star if you were in the radio then, weren't you, in the 70s, definitely so.
There was a lot of cash going around, wasn't there?
There was a lot of cash, yeah. I can witness the cash in the 80s going around still when it was in Blackpool,
you were
yeah.
I've been lucky enough to work with them at the in the discos in Blackpool, and I heard a story of a guy who was working at a random holiday camp up in the north at Workington, and Steve Wright came up there, and he wanted everything, you know, on the ball, but he performed a brilliant show for Reddies, you know. It's brilliant.
Yeah, Simon Bates was the guy that I was actually working with in Blackpool. And they just knew what they were doing. They just rolled up, did an hour, and went away with a pot full of money, didn't they, really, at the end of the day? But it was worth it. Everybody thought it was worth it. They were paying a fiver to get in 1980s. And that shows you that, you know, they were big stars in those days.
They were. They were like pop stars.
What's the biggest mistake you've ever made on the radio?
Oh, there'd be a few. At the time, probably I didn't think there were mistakes, but sometimes I feel like I've done interviews and I've not prepared enough.
Yeah.
And that's frustrating when you listen back, because I always enjoy reading up on people and asking the right questions like yourself. You're very good at that. And there'll be a few interviews I could put down as 7 out of 10. As far as mistakes, once in the old days of carts, obviously these days radio presenters have it very easy because it's all on MP3 players. But back in our day, we had physical carts with the music or the adverts or the jingles on.
Yeah.
And I remember in the hazy days of Red Rose Radio and Rock FM, you had the weather intro, which is press weather in and you did the weather, and then you press weather out and the sponsor would come on for the weather out. And when I was pressing the button for the weather out, it didn't work. So under my breath, I'm able to do expletive. as I was trying to press the button for weather out, and for the rest of my show, I was panicking, thinking, "Oh, did that go out? Did I whisper that, or did I shout it?"
Yeah.
And after I came off air, I went to the video cassettes where they record all the shows and listened back, and luckily, it wasn't audible.
Oh, good, good. Is that where it all started for you then at Rock FM? Is that where you was that your first gig?
No, my first gig was at Hospital Radio in Preston, at Sharrow Green Hospital, where I was born, actually. I didn't start when I was born, though. I started when I was about 13. And I met a wonderful chap called Mike Zeller, who was doing a show on Hospital Radio. He was a bit older than me, 2 years old. He was at university, and he was doing an overnight show at Rock FM.
Yeah.
And he's now doing breakfast on Radio Cumbria. Funny how these things work themselves around in a circle.
Yeah.
Anyway, we got gone very well, and I'd started walking the wards, collecting requests, and then I got a show of a Sunday evening, and then Mike took me into Red Rose. I met a very camp character called Carl Greenwood, who said, "Come in and answer the phones," alongside Dave Collins. And I started going into Rock FM, just helping out. And then, as you know, Nigel, if they trip over you enough, they'll give you a job.
I must admit, when I managed to get to Rock FM, what I used to do is go on a Sunday morning. Dave Lincoln, who was there, yes. He was the boss, wasn't he, at the time? And he said, "Come and have a practice in Studio 2. And I used to go up every Sunday morning because the studio was free. And John Myers was always in the next studio. John Myers, he was a funny guy, wasn't he? He really was. And what he used to do, John Myers, he used to do the wind-up phone calls while I was trying to do like a demo tape and stuff like that. And I just couldn't do it because I was laughing too much. I had to end up listening to him.
Yeah.
So they got fed up, and we go in on a Sunday, and then they gave me a chance of the overnight show. And I think Mike Zeller was there when I was doing that then. I'm sure.
He was.
I think he was doing a couple, wasn't he? Yeah. Definitely doing a couple of gigs overnight or something. And that's how I've got my foot in the door eventually. But you've just got to keep persevering in them days, haven't you?
You really had, unfortunately, you know, and as you know, it was for very little money. You know, everyone thought it was a glamorous job, but it was a passionate job. And, you know, there was always that hope of you getting a bigger gig, and which, you know, sometimes you did, very few and far between. But, you know, you put a lot of effort in, a lot of passion into something, and, you know, your reward is your own sort of personal ambition of getting a radio job, isn't it? Sometimes you've got to put a price on, that.
Yeah. You met your wife through radio as well, didn't you, John?
Really did, yeah. Through Red Rose, I then went to Radio Wave. As you know, worked with you at Radio Wave. And then I got out of radio for 7 years in, 7 years out.
Yeah.
After 7 years after Radio Wave, I went up to the Lake District, and I worked for a radio station, which you'd also work for, Lakeland Radio. And the wife was working there. She wasn't my wife then. She was working there as a kind of producer, helping out on outside broadcasts. Very good she was, very efficient. Whether she was being over efficient for me, I don't know. She certainly impressed me with her knowledge of the area. And we went out doing outside broadcasts, and we got on very well. And eventually we tumbled into a relationship which fell into a marriage. And now we've got three girls, Willow, Ruby and Mabel, and we're living in Sedbergh. So radio may not have given me a big salary, but it's given me a big life.
And did that make you move up there then, the radio?
It did, yeah. Radio took me to the Lake District, took me to Kendal. I was living literally in a pub for a while because on a tent. It was a lovely summer whenever I was up there. I think it was 2011 or 2012 or something. And I was living outside the pub. But when it rained, the pub would let me stay in the pub. So that was good. And so for 3 months in the summer, I was literally in a tent in the Lake District and doing radio shows. And I was in my element, Nigel. It was fabulous. And, you know, fate led its way to my wife, you know, which at the age, I was quite late in life before I met my wife. I was in my late 40s. I thought I'd never get married. And obviously, there was a plan for me to get married.
Yeah. It's a bit of a funny studio there, wasn't it, at Lakeland Radio? It was like an old cow shed, wasn't it?
You're very funny. It certainly it looked like that sometimes inside. There was it's an old barn. It was an old barn. You're right. Plumgast Farm. In fact, it was a big sheep and dairy farm run by the Geldards, and they moved to they upgraded their farm and just modernized those buildings to turn it into an industrial estate. And it was such a cozy little studio because it was, like you say, a converted barn, and we were next to a bakery, we were next to all sorts of food cafes and such like. So it was a real lovely part of the Lake District to be.
Yeah, very thick stone walls they were, weren't they? The original walls, and you were right at the end there, weren't you? At one side of it.
We were probably in a cow cubicle, to be honest.
Yeah. I remember when I got thrown in there and they asked me to do the sports show there, and I just didn't know how anything worked. The system was completely different. It was a different playout system.
Can I just say, I was hoping you'd talk about this, because you are good at techno, Nigel. You are really good at technology, and I'm not. You know, I literally want to turn up and talk. I've had lucky experiences working with Rock FM when it was all on CDs, and was it Denon you call them, or Denon?
Yeah, the CD Denon. Player. Yeah, I call them Denon anyway, but...
Yeah, and they jumped about a little bit, weren't they? Sometimes they caught you out, and I enjoyed that. There was a physical radio, and one of the reasons I went back into Radio Wave was to learn more about computers, because by then it had all turned on to playout systems, MP3s and such like. So it was a nice little system at Radio Wave, RCS, whatever you call it.
Yeah.
And then I was out again. I went back farming and did all sorts, went travelling, and then I went, like you, up to Lakeland Radio. And I think, again, it was pretty simple. I know what you mean, though. If you're not used to it, it'll catch you out, and I enjoyed Myriad, wasn't it, I think, or whatever. It was all right. I played around with it, and I was lucky enough for someone to sit in on my first show. I always find that useful. A very interesting transition was when Lakeland Radio turned to Smooth and Global brought in Genesis. I don't know if you've ever worked with Genesis.
I've never used that one, no.
That is like Lego. and honestly, I've got fat farmer fingers. And to get my fingers around that technology took a long time, but I loved it, you know. And as you know, with Smooth, it's mainly about the music. So there wasn't much work to do on the system once you were doing your show. It was just a case of next, really. But still, you know, it was quite, you were quite reliable or relying on the internet. And as you know, in the Lake District, internet and Lake District sometimes don't go hand in hand. So it was a bit nerve-wracking doing a breakfast show for Smooth, but I loved every minute of it. But of course, I think even Global found the technology in the Lake District had to be moved to Manchester, and that's where 3 hours comes from now, and the rest is from London.
Yeah, I always found that the reason I had trouble with the technology there at the Lake District there was because when you had to record a phone call, it was on a different system, and you had to sort of play it back through the desk, and it was a real problem. That I found myself worrying about that more than actually doing the show.
Yeah, I know, because it takes the light off the show, that, doesn't it, when you're panicking about things like that.
So what's happened to commercial radio then in the UK?
It's just evolved, Nigel. It's a shame. There'd be lots of bitter people saying, oh, you know, it's a shame, you know, we've lost all our little radio stations at the Isle of Arran FM or whatever and things like that. But you've got to go with the times. Unfortunately, internet and Facebook and WhatsApp, you know, if I want to know what's going on in my local theatre now, I just go on the website or I go on the Facebook page and it tells me straight away. But back in our day, if you wanted to know what was going on at the Brewery Arts Centre in Kendal, you know, John Pye or Nigel will tell you on the radio in the morning, and the What's On guide, and they also tell you what the weather's like on the fell tops. It was brilliant. It's cosy radio.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, everyone's got it on the phones now, and it's, you know, it's not a unique selling point anymore. But it also has evolved into the fact that it's got a bit greedy with the corporates, you know. Global and Bauer have swallowed up anything that's viable or it's got a target audience, and they've taken it on. But it's been very, very heartbreaking for anyone who's got a passion for local radio. Both the BBC and commercial radio has literally gone through the mangle, just like other industries has. The farming job, you know, having 50 cows now is not enough. You have to have 500 cows to make a living in the dairy industry.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, life goes on, and there's still enjoyment to be had in radio if you can find it, or, you know, and also you've got to use your talents elsewhere, which you've done.
Yeah, I've just had to adapt myself, really, and think of something new to do. And, well, the podcast is something new. It's quite current. In fact, there's that many podcasts coming out now, it's going to get a bit swamped, I think. But anyway, we'll see how we get on with it. But it's interesting. And I don't know whether the big firms are to blame, really, are they?
Not at all, no. I think it's just you know, they've saved a lot of sort of heritage stations in some respects and put something on their frequencies when really they were losing a lot of money hand over fist, no doubt about it. So, you know, it's a tough decision. Of course, they will be blamed, won't they, because the finger can't point anywhere else. But at the end of the day, that is the way the beast has evolved.
So what's the future for radio then?
A future is for radio is doing what you're doing. It's also probably going to eventually come full circle in the fact there will be smaller stations. It will all depend on the government if they hand out some FM licenses or not to any upcoming businesses. It has to be on FM. I don't see DAB. I think, unfortunately, I do see DAB as a little bit of a, oh, I don't know. It's not the Betamax of the video cassette world.
Yeah.
I speak to people, and they're not about the DAB. They're about the internet. They're about physical radio. You still hear a radio station blaring out from a building site, which is good you know, 8 out of 10 times that maybe on a phone, it won't be the old woofer radio and the FM, will it? So I see radio still very, you only need to go to America because they're 8 or 10 years ahead of us.
Yeah.
And they've still got great radio going on in America, be it splintered up slightly differently. And You know, someone will probably tell me, oh, there's loads of DAB. That's all it is. Fair enough. You know, I give DAB a chance. Probably will be the future. Fair enough. But it's not exciting me.
No, I don't think it's a technology of the future. And I think that's already been admitted that DAB isn't, because it's not quite up to it. If you're traveling along in the car, you're getting in, dipping in and out, dipping out. You know, you're not going to put up with that, are you?
No, absolutely not. You know, and you need consistency, and the internet will be consistent. You know, everyone's got the however many G you have. 5G, is it now? That's not standard, isn't it? I remember it was 3G, and you would as well, when you'd have to wave your phone around to get reception.
Yeah.
But you know, it's pretty good. I think you could probably go to Land's End and speak to someone in John O'Groats and not have a flicker.
Anyway, we'll see what happens with it. But I've got a couple more questions I want to ask you. What's your biggest star you've met on the radio? I mean, or interviewed on the radio, or maybe at a gig?
Well, my my first ever presentation of someone on stage was at the Preston Guild Hall when I introduced Chesney Hawkes. That was awesome.
Brilliant.
that was John Myers. Can you get yourself down there, team? I don't know what's going on. There's a young lad on there that he wants introducing on stage, and I have no idea what I was doing. I was only 19, Nigel, but it was good fun. And then he went on to have a big hit. As far as interviewing people, I enjoy my local interviews when I'm talking to people. You know, for example, in the Lake District, I spoke to someone who reckoned the castle was haunted, and he really believed it was, and things like that fascinate me, because, you know, people are genuinely quite interesting. Yeah. I obviously got out of him. I think the only reason he believed in it, because the ghost was making him a lot of money. And all the American tourists love a ghost story, don't they? But as far as stars go, Rick Astley was great to me. He was really friendly, put me at ease. In the Lake District, I managed to sort of get a lot of down-the-line interviews with big stars, from Lisa Stansfield. Alfie Bowe was awesome to me. And you remember the ones that are good to you? Chris Evans, when I was at Radio Wave, was turning on Blackpool Eliminations. Yep. Were involved with Turn On. And I remember going up to him with my little Comrex radio mic. And he helped me, you know. He said, just relax. And, you know, he gave me a bit of advice how to do interviews. And I was in awe of that, you know, he gave me time. McFly weren't very friendly with me, but I believe they're all right now. But at the time, they were a little bit full of themselves. Yeah. I didn't really enjoy their company. They were quite rude to me. You remember things like that, don't you?
You definitely do.
But you remember the ones that are good. I enjoy Chris Packham. You know, Chris Packham gets a lot of grief from the farmers because he's a bit too, you know, green and loves the foxes. But he was brilliant. He knew his topic and was so calming and very, very interesting to chat to. I love people that give something back.
Yeah.
OMD, Orchestral Maneuvers in the Dark, you know, Andy McCluskey from them. It was a great interview. They were happy to talk to you. And as soon as you get a common bond with someone on when you're chatting to them, it just evolves into a great listen.
Yeah, you can tell as soon as you chat to them, actually within about a minute or two, you know if you're going to be on for a good interview or you're going to be on for a stuffy one. But not many of those. Usually people are really good, I find, and they're really nice to chat to, and it makes a good listen. And what's your favourite radio feature then when you were on the radio?
Oh, I was lucky, you know, when radio stations get different management, don't they, and such like. And whenever I went to a radio station, they always tried to cater for me. I've got a great surname as well with Pie. They always found something where you could win a pie. But my favourite was Lake or Break, which Tim Littlechild and I kind of created in the Lake District. It was a lunchtime quiz. It was an appointment to listen, and that's what listeners like, a regular time slot for a quiz. And it was just a general knowledge quiz. It was entertaining, so I enjoyed Lake or Break in the Lake District. I guess that would be my favourite one. Anything where you're giving prizes away. And all your phone lines used to light up. Back in our day of local radio, you used to have a switchboard, and when those lights were flashing, it was a great feeling, wasn't it? Because you obviously knew people wanted to win prizes. And it didn't need to be big, Nigel, as you know. People would phone up for a meal for two, and they'd, you know, they'd be really upset they didn't win.
Yeah. I used to give away a jam package that I used to put in old singles, old CDs. And I used to put them in the jiffy bag, and they got a photo and some key rings or something like that. I'm not kidding. It was a full switchboard. That's at like 3 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, amazing, isn't it? That's right.
Crazy
it's
days.
It's just that idea of winning as well. People love the idea of winning, to be fair.
Yeah. Do you still do any presenting now?
I'm lucky enough to do do my Sunday show on Bay Trust Radio in Kendal Hospital, which goes across Blackpool, Lancaster and Kendal, Westmorland General. And it's also on your free views and all that nonsense. I enjoy doing that. it's basically keeps my hand in Nigel, so it keeps me knowing what the new music is. And also they've got Myriad 9000, whatever it is. So I do voiceover work if it comes across. I'm looking forward to doing the Cumbria Tourism Awards in July at the Castle Green Hotel. Big plug for that. Well, that's going to be a great gig. I pop up on random adverts. I'm currently on the Sainsbury's advert saying they had rice yesterday.
I've seen you on that, actually. We had fun trying to play it back, and we were arguing about that, trying to flick it back. And now you've missed it. You've missed it. It's gone forward now. And trying to get it all sorted out. And we finally got it. And then I got a photograph of you on my mobile phone, and it's rubbish. All right. I've got three questions before we let you go, right? We always ask our guests here on Sans Showbiz three questions. They're the same questions each time, but it's interesting the different answers we get. Question number one, who is your biggest influencer in music, or who was, you know, when you were a kid, which artist or band did you really follow?
Bruce Springsteen and your man Don Henley, and also the guy who's brilliant on the piano, Bruce Hornsby.
That's question number one. That was quick. They usually dawdle on these, John.
No, I don't dawdle. I'm going to play the next song. The news is coming up.
Yeah. Question. The news is coming up. Question number two. What's your favourite car you've ever owned or you would like to have?
Oh, my first car was a Fiesta, a burgundy orangey Fiesta, which I loved, a 1.1, which it would tell some amazing stories. and that was my young farmer's car, and it went everywhere. And I had spotlights on the front. It was a little bit of a boy racer.
No, they were superb cars. The Fiestas were like a brick on wheels, really. They were just fantastic.
They were beautiful, yeah. I don't know what mark it was. It was an early Fiesta.
Yeah.
Of course, they changed eventually, didn't they? So, yeah.
They had an XR2, did they, or something in the
Fiesta?
Oh,
yeah, they had the XR2. I couldn't afford one of them. My friend Paul Kirk had one of those. And then my friend Stuart, he had a Escort Cosworth, was it? Or something fancy. And I couldn't afford that either. But I always enjoyed riding around in them.
Excellent fun. And the final question. What is your favourite go-to snack?
Oh, that's a great one. You know what I love? I love a milky chocolate digestive. So milk chocolate digestives with a good cup of tea.
Oh, that's my favourite as well. That's one of them anyway. But I've got so many favourites. I'm starting to get a pot belly. I've got that many favourites at the moment.
I enjoy it with chocolate biscuits, nibbling the chocolate around the digestive so then you can hold it and not get chocolate on your hands. And then you can dip it in your tea. And also, I've got a nasty habit with the chunky Kit Kats of biting all the chocolate before eating the wafer at the end.
I was going to say, I did that as a kid. not anymore. But
no,
anyway,
no, I'm still at it at 51.
You're like, it's been great chatting away, John. We'll let you get back to your business. And thanks for joining us. And
I wish your podcast the best success and keep up the great work at Sans.
Excellent. Thanks for that, John. And we'll catch you soon.
All the best, mate. Thank you.
If you loved what you heard, make sure to hit subscribe on this podcast channel to never miss an episode. Stay connected and become part of the Sans Showbiz family by following us on our social media platforms. Your ticket to the heart of showbiz awaits every Monday. In the world of showbiz, there's always another story waiting to be told. See you next time.